Hello and welcome to the recording for Sunday the 10th of January. Hope you're well. This is a recording for the kids in the way. Not that I think there's too much in this one that's different for the one for Ignite, but yeah, make sure that you are age 11 or above to listen to it. Okay, so let's get cracking on. You've had no school, no going out to anywhere, and I hope you're coping well. So I am thinking of an animal. For 5 points, this animal can be found in all the continents except the Antarctic. For 4 points, this animal has 6,000 species. For 3 points, it's a reptile, so it's cold-blooded and sheds its skin. For 2 points, it can be found in houses and eats crickets, cockroaches, ants, beetles, and flies. So, good friend of mine, because anything that eats flies is a good friend of mine. I don't like flies. And for 1 point, it likes to sit on rocks to soak up the sun. Right, it's not a dangerous animal. So did you guess that it is a lizard? If you did, well done. You think like me, which can be very worrying in some circles. Okay, so today we are continuing our parables. I think we've got a few more to go. I think we might have another 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and then we're going to have a big quiz about all things parables. So we will see how we go. But today's parable, we've got two parables to discuss. And the first one is the persistent widow and the crooked judge. So this again, parables being stories that Jesus told to teach us some lessons. We're looking at them and seeing what we can learn and how we can apply them to life today. This parable is found in the book of Luke, chapter 18, from verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge said. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Dun, dun, dun. Interesting way to finish this parable, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so the word persistent means to constantly keep nagging or constantly keep asking for something. If you think of Shrek, Shrek 2, when Donkey is Shrek and Fiona are going off to see Fiona's parents, Donkey keeps asking the annoying question, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And that is being persistent, constantly asking about the same thing. If you've got younger brothers or sisters, you know what that is like. Or maybe you're the one who's a younger sibling who always asks for something and asks 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 again. I did, it did work for me, because when I was the younger sibling, my sister slept on the top bunk and I slept on the bottom bunk, and I used to read horror books so that I would get scared, and then I would constantly nag at her until she let me sleep in her bed with her. So yeah, it worked for me. So being persistent can pay off. It can pay off. But what is Jesus trying to say here? Is he saying that we should endlessly repeat our prayers to God, or that we should have long sessions of prayers, or should we attend daily or weekly prayer sessions going on and on about the same things, or should we constantly repeat our prayers before God to get answers? Right. God doesn't need endless repetition, because there's nothing wrong with his hearing. He hears us the first time that we ask for something. Long sessions of prayers and attending weekly or daily prayer sessions can be a good thing to help you discipline yourself. But really, Jesus wants us to repeat the prayers that we have to God. One, even though God doesn't need that repetition, it helps us to remember what we're trusting and believing God for. So remember that he was talking to disciples. He was talking to people that were in his inner circle, not people that were outside that didn't know or understand how God works. So he expected them to at least be able to understand that they did pray. That was not the question. These people were praying, but it's how they were praying that he wants to change. He wants to change the idea of how you should pray. You shouldn't just pray once and then give up. You shouldn't just pray once and then go away. You should always bring your request before God and bring them again and again and again. Because sometimes God needs to know that you really want this thing and that you're fully trusting him to get it for you, and you're not looking for other things. And, you know, being persistent doesn't mean that you don't have faith in God. It's just that your belief that he is the one who is going to provide it for you. So by showing that we're not going to give up, we are showing our faith in God. So God may delay, and he always has a good reason for doing that. Sometimes it's for our own protection. Sometimes we're not ready for the answer to that prayer. But if we persist in prayer, we will get what we need. And sometimes the delay is to improve our character, or to show our faith, or to make sure that it gives us hope. And also, if you get something that you've been praying for after a while, it can give you an amazing testimony that will affect and influence other people around you. So if we look at the characters in this parable, we have a judge. Judges in those days could be very easily bribed. They could be people that weren't really caring about their position. They would just do a relatively good job. They wouldn't always be so conscientious. And you know, when you could persuade a judge to rule in your favor, by whatever means, whether it was with a bribe, and sometimes they would deny justice to innocent people. And we know that this judge, the Bible says that he didn't care about God. So he didn't have a conscience about it. He didn't fear that, I should do my job well, just in case I'm brought up before God or I die or something. He didn't care about that. He didn't have a conscience, and he didn't care about people. He only thought of himself. He was quite selfish in that way. Now, widows and orphans in those days, they're often mentioned in scripture as not having any family or any support. And sometimes they suffered injustices, or they were oppressed. And God particularly urges people in the Bible to be advocates to widows and orphans, and to try and make sure that they get justice, and to help them to get the things that they need. And this widow, in this particular case, she didn't have other people to support her. She didn't have family members to help her, or to relieve her suffering, or to see that she was treated fairly. She was obviously oppressed in some way. And when she goes to the judge, she's not asking for something as a special favor. She's not asking for something unusual, but she's asking for something that seems to be quite clear cut, that there has been an injustice and the judge can rule in her favor so that she then gets justice. So she's not in a position to bribe him. She's not in a position to get any favor. And what she does is she just keeps going and she just keeps asking and she just keeps going back to him again and again and again. And she is persistent and she wears him down. And it's interesting why he gives in to her request. It's not because he decides, oh, yeah, she deserves this. He doesn't do it because he wants to be seen to be doing a good job. It doesn't do it because he feels sorry for her. But he has a selfish reason for doing it. He just wants peace and quiet. He doesn't want this woman coming to him anymore and asking. Okay, so how is this like our prayers? Because our prayers should not be a time of distress and going to God. We shouldn't just pray when we are in need or when we are in distress. We shouldn't pray to distress God. God loves us and he loves giving things to us. He is compassionate. He cares about us and he feels our anxieties and problems. It gives God pleasure to make us happy and to give us the things that we ask him for. So he's quite different to this judge. And what God gives us is not for a prize. It's not for a price. He gives it to us freely and in his own time. When we go to God and we are showing faith in him by consistently and persistently asking for that thing again and again and again, he gives this to us freely, quickly, and easily. So why do people stop praying? What discourages people from praying? I know one of the things that affects our prayers a lot is if we see other people getting the things that we want. Because we seem to forget that God's economy is quite different, like I said last week, and God's treasure trove is so big that he has got enough for me and my neighbor and everybody else to have the same thing. So if I am asking God for something and I see someone else getting that thing, it might discourage me from praying anymore about it because I sort of think, oh, well, that's it. You know, it's gone now, but it's not. God has got more than enough to give everybody what they need. When we see our prayers are not answered, we shouldn't stop praying. We should keep going. We should be persistent and we should keep on asking for that thing because maybe God doesn't want us to have it at that time. Do not give up. Keep praying and keep pressing in and you will get the results that you want. Because sometimes, every now and again, we do get a little glimpse into God's will for our lives. God doesn't have to tell us what he's going to do. He doesn't have to tell us what his intentions are for our lives. But whenever we pray, we should pray, let your will be done on earth or in my life as it happens in heaven. We should use that third line of the Lord's Prayer to make changes in our lives. To say, let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. We should let God be king. That means he decides when we get stuff and what we get. There are four aspects to when we are praying to make sure our prayers really reflect that model that Jesus gave us when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. The first thing we should do, we're going to use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A stands for acclaim. We should acclaim God's name and his power. We should declare that as the first thing that we do in recognizing that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, that he knows, sees, and is everywhere, and he can do all things. We should recognize that, which is why the Lord's Prayer starts with, Our Father who art in heaven. We are recognizing that part of saying, Hallowed be your name, be lifted up on high, you are the greatest. Then the C stands for confess. We should confess our sins, any wrongdoings, and any weaknesses that we have shown as people. Because believe you me, they will be there. We might not like them, but we need to confess our sins before God and humble ourselves before him in recognizing that he is God. The third thing we need to do, which is the T, is we need to give thanks. We need to give thanks for God's love and care that has got us this far and all the other provisions of resources that he gives us through our lives. We need to recognize that God has already done stuff for us. And then the last thing we do, which is the S in Acts, is supplication. We can ask for our requests, his blessings, his leading, his forgiveness, and his justice. And we can ask for all the other things that we need. But by the time we have got to that, we will be in a really strong place with our prayers. And hopefully we'll be in line with God's will, and we will get the things that we ask for. Right. So the second parable that we're going to look at is in Acts chapter 18, and this starts from verse 9. This is another parable about praying, and it's the Pharisee and the tax collector. This is Jesus continuing to speak, and he says, to some who were, Jesus told this parable to some who were confident of their righteousness and they looked down on everyone else. Two people went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus here is teaching now a different group of people. These are not his disciples he's talking to. He's talking to people that think highly of themselves and they look down on everyone else. That means they're comparing themselves to other people. The Pharisees of Jesus' day, they were proud people and they thought they had everything right. They saw themselves as being better than other people, and they were full of pride, and they despised people that did not behave or act or have money like they did. So all that attitude can stop you focusing on God. It stops you focusing on who God is, because you cannot compare yourself to God. But if you do think about it, you will just humble yourself down as the tax collector did, because he recognized that compared to himself, he didn't even have the right to stand before God. He did not have that right because he was a sinner. He recognized that he had done things wrong, and, you know, and that really he was humbled to stand before God. The Pharisees praises himself for that he was free from evil. He said, I am free. I'm not like other men. I'm not an evildoer or a robber or an adulterer. And he was comparing himself so much to other people. And he thought he was free from evil. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He thought he was right up there, close to the glory of God. And then another area that he thought he was doing all the right things. He was like, I fast twice a week. Tick that box. I give a tenth of everything that I have. Tick that box. And he thought that gave him a right to stand before God and to boast, really. Because the tax collector was quietly standing there, humbled before God and not speaking in a loud voice. Whereas the Pharisee was standing, went to the temple, not really to pray, but just to announce to everybody how good he was and to show other people that he was good and he was doing all these things, because he was saying it with such a loud voice and boasting about the good things that he had done. But nothing that we do is really good enough to God. And when God looks at us, you know,
We need to humble ourselves. We need to recognize that God is right up there and he deserves all the praise and all the glory. We need to humble ourselves and go before God with the right attitude. So when we are praying, we should not be relying on our money, our position, our power, our education, our dress sense, anything, any achievements that we have made. That is not the things that are going to get God to listen to us and to listen to our prayers. We have to acknowledge God and his place in our lives. Because even if we are distinguished, like the Pharisees thought they are, that would not get us anywhere. Now, we cannot assume all Pharisees were that proud. And we cannot assume that all tax collectors were that humble. We see Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, he went to Jesus asking questions, wanting to know more. And the tax collectors that we've seen examples of in the Bible, Matthew, who then went on to follow Jesus as a disciple, he was a tax collector. And when Jesus asked him to leave everything and follow him, he did. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a short little man who climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus better. And Jesus saw him and called him down and said, "I'm coming to your house for tea." And Zacchaeus humbled himself and said he was going to give back all the money that he had got in a wrong way. He was going to give back to people four times what he had stolen. So when we are praying, we need to have a humble attitude. We need to know that for our prayers to reach heaven, we need to humble ourselves. And when we are praying before God, we need to know that we need something from God. It's not that God needs anything from us. We should pray with our hearts set in the right way. I've written four things here about how we can pray. The first thing is our heart attitude. We should make sure that we're praying with our hearts set right before God. The second thing is we should ask anything, because God cares for us and he is willing and he wants to give us whatever we need. The third thing is we should not be anxious about anything. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 says that we should pray without ceasing and be anxious for nothing, but pray without ceasing. But by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and God will give you the desires of your heart. So you have to know that you are praying to a God who loves you, and you shouldn't be anxious about that thing. Once you have prayed to God, you can go back to thank him for it, but you don't need to worry about, oh, am I ever going to get this? Because God will answer your prayers in the right way and in his own time, as I've said before. And the fourth thing is that we should be thankful even before our prayers have been answered. We should go back and thank God for that thing. And if we continue doing that and we keep going back and thanking God, then we will become just like that widow that we saw in the first paragraph, who kept going back and worrying the judge and wearing him down. And God will see our thankful and grateful heart and will give us our requests, if it is his will. I hope that has really helped in terms of knowing different ways to pray, different attitudes to have as you are praying, and the different ways that God deals with our prayers. That's it. Well, do take care. Stay blessed. Keep working hard. And I hope you're okay. Stay safe. Bye, and God bless you.